one by one, we were taken into a room for like 1 or 2 hours where they'd like pepper us with questions, trying to get us to say that we were planning to shoot up the school. And we weren't.
Hello, and welcome to the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast. I am your host, your roast coming queen, a girl who once wrote an anonymous story about her friends on Fiction Press and then emailed it to them and tried to pass it off like it was written by a stranger, Elise Morales. And with us today, we have an Emmy-nominated comedian and writer. He is currently one of the co-head writers of Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, but before all of that, he was a graduate of Dillard High School. It's Mike Ducker!
Hey! Hello! Hello!
Welcome!
Hello. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Of course. What mascot are we working with at Dillard High School?
It was the Black Panther.
Really? That's yes. Cool.
It was, for background in my high school, it was actually one of like the first schools like built for Black students in South Florida. And so it actually has like a lot of civil rights history, and then I went there and ruined it.
So it was like intentionally a cool Black Panther for yep. that reason. Whenever we kick off the episode, I always like to ask, what flavor of high school was Dillard High School? You said South Florida. It's got mm-hmm. this crazy history. It seems like it's a public school.
It was a public school, yeah.
Okay, so give us, yeah, what's the vibe at Dillard?
Well, I weirdly liked high school. I think because my school had a tech program and also had a performing arts program. Mm-hmm. But it also had incredible sports teams. Like my high school I'm not a big sports fan, but it like produces NFL players, NBA players. It's a relatively big public school for sports. Mm-hmm. But because of that, different departments, people actually kind of liked each other. Like yeah. I was never bullied by jocks. If there was anyone I hated, it was like other nerds who were jerks to me. So like it was never like-
Because you were actually competing for the same like status and stuff. The jocks aren't bothering you really.
Right. Like I became friends with some of the jocks. Like I actually at one point was getting paid to help them write college essays.
Hell yes.
Like it wasn't like, I'm gonna shove you in a locker unless you help me. It was like, I'll give you $50. And I was like, sure, I could use $50.
Was that the going rate for a paper?
I didn't know how much to charge. So that was, you know, when someone asks you how much money and you're like, I don't know, $100. Like it's that sort of response. And 50 to me seemed very reasonable.
Yeah. 50 is reasonable, I think. Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on the paper because there are some projects in high school where it's like, you should be making a full-time salary to be doing this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So what, you're saying you were friends with kind of everyone. What was Teen Mike like, let's walk through a typical day in Teen yeah. Mike's life.
So I got there a bit early because I took the buses to school because I mm-hmm. still don't know how to drive as a 36-year-old man.
Oh, wow. Never.
Never learned.
Never drove.
Never drove.
And were most people driving at your high school?
Yeah. I mean, most people were driving. I will say because it was a relatively big school, you still had a lot of people busing or walking from the neighborhood because it was like smack dab in the middle of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it had a giant parking lot of students' cars, and I sometimes got rides home with teachers, so that was
wow.
fun.
Wow!
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so your Teen Mike is beloved by all. You've got friends in the football team.
Yeah.
The teachers will let you into their car.
Which... Right. I was still a miserable person, but overall, it wasn't because of other people. It was because of myself, which I can own up to now.
Yeah. But at the time, you're just kind of like, why do I feel bad every second of the day?
Right, or like, girls don't like me, and like, I'd be dressed in like a giant Tweety Bird shirt and like cotton shorts, and being like, I don't understand, I'm a nice guy, and I'm like, yeah, but you look like I'm gonna murder someone. It took me so long.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, I would always be like, I'm so, like, everybody at this school thinks that I'm such a freak. And then I'd also be like flying off the handle in public every day.
Right, exactly.
Like, why doesn't anybody get me? And I'm like, I don't know, you're screaming.
Some people never have that realization, though. They spend their whole life being like, I was oppressed. And some people are in high school, but others, yes. It's a choice.
Yeah, you have to eventually overcome your high school experience for the most part. If it's in the realm of normal high school experiences, you have to find a way to become bigger than that.
But I think even on the other side too, if it's like super good, I think you also need to overcome that. Like whenever, nothing makes me feel sadder than someone whose like best memories are from high school.
No, and it's okay to like have had fun. I had a fun time in high school. I have pleasant memories, but you want to, college should be more fun than high school.
Yes.
It's number one. Yes. Like it's for being more fun. It definitely should be. Your 20s should be more fun than high school.
I agree. Yeah. It's so weird to me when people are like, if I could go back to any time in my life, it'd be those high school days. I'm like, really? When you had to wake up at 6 and do like 8 hours of work? Come on, homework, like math, not just your job. No.
So what were your classes that you liked?
I really liked my computer programming classes. But the reason is because the teacher was an alcoholic and early on he just ghosted the class. And occasionally they'd have a sub in, but he kind of ghosted so much that they just didn't address it. So we had these relatively new computers in this computer lab with 20 people, and we honestly just played video games for an hour every day because this dude was gone. Now, we didn't learn anything. We didn't learn a thing, but it was super fun for 2 years to just play video games for an hour a day.
Oh my God. And so you got in, like you did 1 year and then you could take it again?
You could take programming too. Yeah.
I feel like when you're in high school or middle school, whatever, when you get into a class and you realize like, oh, this is one of the ones where we don't have to do anything. It's like the best.
It's the best.
It's the best feeling. You like forge incredible friendships in those classes, I feel like.
Me and another guy were the experimental class for like the first teleteaching class that my school did. And so it was actually calculus. And the guy was teaching at another school and there was like a couple students at each school. But the technology at that point was still super young. So they could only see, like they didn't have like, you know, grid view. So they could only see the last students to talk. So what we realized early on was if we don't talk, we can fuck around and he won't see us. And then when he calls us, we'll just return to the class. Like we'll just start paying attention again.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you could do kind of whatever as long as you were silently.
Exactly.
So was the setup, it was just you and another guy like sitting and watching a screen?
Exactly. It was it was like in a library, one of the like library, not conference rooms, but you know, where they'd have like AP test kind of little library rooms. And they had like a TV set up with a webcam and it was very fancy. They were very excited about it. And it was cool. Like the technology worked, which is crazy for like 2002.
Yeah. But I'm like, this is Zoom school before Zoom school.
Right.
Wow.
Right. But clearly it didn't work as intended because we just, we figured out a loophole day two.
No, it was so interesting because I feel like I was in like middle and high school in the early 2000s too. And I feel like we got to see the onset of like smart boards and all this weird technology, but like also our teachers did not know how to use them. And so it was like, some of your classes had those like transparencies where you would just write and draw on them. Right. And some of them, it would be like 5 minutes of the teacher trying to get the smart board to like connect to her smart pen.
No. I also feel like I lived through the age of teachers who like were just learning about PowerPoint and thought that if you put every lesson into PowerPoint, it would make it better somehow.
Yes.
Or like, don't do your science fair project on a board, do it in PowerPoint. It's like, okay, sure. But this program isn't hard. This isn't a job skill you're teaching me.
Yes, they really, we were definitely the dawn of the multimedia presentation being required as like a child. What were your like early websites? Your high school, like let's say teen Mike is getting on the computer. Like where's he logging in?
I was early AOL. So this was more middle school than this was like early middle school, not high school. I was in an Anne Rice fan forum. I was in like a lot of gothy stuff. So a lot of vampire stuff. not so much music. I'm not like the hugest music person mm-hmm. in terms of like fandom, but like a lot of gothy stuff, horror movies. I was very into those chat rooms and forums. There was a lot of Japanese role-playing sites. So things like the Square Enix fan site, who I later met the creator of and who was confused as to why I knew who he was.
You were like, no, you don't understand. I'm exactly the person who knows who you are.
You're Andrew Vestal. I put fan fiction on your site. Okay. All right. Thanks, man. Thanks. Fan fiction stuff, Star Wars stuff, like really fandom type stuff. I wasn't into news at that point, and I kind of feel like there wasn't enough, like we had things like Encarta on CD, but there wasn't as much learning online as there is now.
Yeah, I mean, I was into fan fiction, I was only into the Harry Potter fan fiction.
Of course. Yeah.
Of it all. How involved in the fandoms were you getting? Like, how much time would you say you were investing online in them?
I would say I was probably investing just as much time as I was spending on the actual media itself. So like, you know, if it took me like 50 hours to beat a Final Fantasy game, I was definitely spending 50 hours on a site talking about it, arguing about it mostly, just arguing about what it meant. Arguing about meanings, which is dumb because I have a master's in English lit and I wrote a book about what a video game means. But still, when I was 13, I was like, no, you don't get what Final Fantasy VII's about. So mostly arguing with other people because I don't know if this may be, you know, different fandoms are different levels of toxicity. Mm-hmm. But like people at this point would like, they would both be very like, welcome to the community, fandom. But then you'd have like one person every fan fiction is like, this is terrible. They'd never do this. And you're like, it doesn't matter. They're having sex. Who cares? Why are you?
I know. I remember like when I was writing fan fiction for Harry Potter and all of it was bad. And like, it was all just like, it was literally a character that was obviously me. And I was just at Hogwarts and like everyone wanted to date me. And that was the fan fiction. And that's what I was doing. And I would get flamed by obvious real adults. And I'm like, they would be like, this story fucking sucks. Like, you're living out a fantasy of like, literally they would like read me in these comments. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm a 12-year-old who loves writing.
Yeah.
And you're ruining my life.
I'm lonely.
Feel horrible.
Right. Oh God. People were so intense about that stuff because they really like everyone was so attached to those characters that it was like, no, you can't. No, you don't understand Cloud Strife.
Yes. And I mean, that's obviously still happening to young children today who dare to post things online. Do you remember like any early internet arguments you got into or any early like squabbles?
I did. I tweeted about this recently, but I was kicked out of that Anne Rice forum because I had a very, very passionate argument. And I should say at the time, I was very gothy when I was 13, but I was also still kind of religious as a Catholic. I wasn't like one of those Catholics on Twitter now that's in fucking sane, but I was definitely still very Catholic.
Yeah. The goth aesthetic and Catholicism, like...
They go well. They go very well.
Yes. I see a connection.
So I was a big fan of Anne Rice, and I did not pick up on any of the horniness of those stories. Like now, when I see the movie or when I read the books... They're extraordinarily horny.
Extremely.
They're extraordinarily, there's so much horniness in them, but-
Kind of responsible for the overall horniness that vampires have in the culture now. I mean, vampires were always horny, but I think the modern horny vampire is directly attributed to these books.
But to me, like they were just like cool books about these like cool characters. And so I got into a passionate argument with more than one person saying, because they, you know, most of the people in these forums were probably adults in their 20s, 30s or 40s, because Anne Rice, you know, goes a bit older. And people would talk about sex, or they'd talk about like wanting to have sex with this character. Like, oh, I wish I could fuck Lestat. And I jumped into where I'm like, well, they wouldn't need to have sex because you don't need to have sex to reproduce when you're a vampire. And I believed this. I wasn't just trying to troll. I was certain of this and certain about a thing that doesn't exist, but certain it was a fact.
This fictional vampire would never fuck.
Never. It's gross. So, and then again, I wondered why I was lonely for a long time.
That is really one of the most virginal things I've ever heard. And it's really, mm-hmm. Let's continue to walk through teen Mike's day. Cause I feel like we got to, arrive at school.
I arrive at school.
You arrive at school. Who's the first person you say like, what up to?
Usually first person I say what up to is a guy named Raph. His full name's Raphael. He was on my bus route and we were sort of bus friends. And I, even though I got along with most people, I wasn't best friends with a lot of people. I was still very shy and I was still very awkward. I just wasn't really like attacked for that. So I didn't have a ton of friends. So I was really close friends with him. So we would hang out and so we would usually head to the high tech office first because we'd get about a half an hour before the bell. And there wasn't really like, my school didn't have like that long hallway of lockers thing. Like we had lockers, but they were sort of like scattered. There wasn't one congregation point. Yeah, I'd go to the high tech office where a bunch of like sort of nerdy people would hang out. Like we'd play like people would bring video game systems too. And we'd play them in the morning and sometimes between classes. So people would bring a Dreamcast, PS2 when that finally came out. And so we play like fighting games for half an hour in the high tech office. And we talked to Miss Millier, was the head of the department. She was also my middle school social studies teacher. So I knew her from before. She was one of the people who would drive me home sometimes.
Wow. Shout out Miss Millier.
Miss Millier. still the person, like when I post something nice on Facebook and she likes it, I'm always like, oh, it's Miss Millier.
But yeah, like, it's like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. But if it's like a family member, I'm like, I don't know.
I didn't know you could see my page. Like, oh God, I forgot to hide you from my page.
So we'd go there and usually, you know, then sort of go through the flow of classes, English, socials. I did AP classes, although our AP classes weren't that good. Like, I think our AP classes were basically, the normal classes are full. Like our AP history teacher, whose name I won't say because I don't know if she's alive or not, would tell us the moon landing was fake.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Is that like some Florida shit or what's going on there?
I think it's Florida public school stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. I also had some amazing teachers, but you know, this teacher, she would like, whenever we got to something in the history book that she thought didn't really happen, she would like let us know that it didn't. Like she would... I don't think she would be a QAnon person, but I think if there was like, she would be like Price is Right as close as you can go without going over. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She believed the moon landing was fake. She had, I forget what it was, but she had a weird theory about the Vietnam War. Like it either didn't happen or it like ended before it did. She had a conspiracy theory that I'd never heard before or since about it.
It ended, but early.
It was something where she was like, don't trust this when we were reading about the Vietnam War. And it wasn't about like wealth disparity or the race gap in the war because we brought that up.
Or like the reasons for getting into the war.
Right.
What actually went on the ground.
She was very certain that the government had been lying about it.
What was her Kennedy theory or did she?
She didn't have a Kennedy theory. It was weird. Like some things you would be like no Kennedy, but moon, like things that naturally flow into each other.
So she would teach the JFK 7, she would be like, and then he was killed by Lee Harvey Oswald. And that's
right.
Sort of who did it. And then be like, but the Vietnam War.
Exactly.
Not but like, all, not all is what it seems.
It was. So we didn't again, my AP, those programming classes, programming too was AP programming and dude never showed. If you look at my AP scores, you could tell the classes where teachers tried, because like English and social studies I got fives, and calculus, programming, and history, which was different than government, I got a five. History I got a two.
I feel like there's like a pivotal moment as a teenager when you realize that your teacher, like, oh, my teacher is bad, or like, oh, my teacher is a psycho, or really dumb, or just anything, like realizing that they're real people and that means that they can also be bad at their job or be totally crazy. And I remember like just a couple teachers in high school where I was like, oh, you're not here with us. I remember I had one chemistry teacher who was extremely against sustainable energy. Like literally would not stop telling us how ugly windmills were. Like before Donald Trump was saying like windmills give you cancer or whatever, I'm pretty sure this woman said it in my chemistry class.
My AP government teacher was very against unions. And he was, I will weirdly say, he was very hardcore Republican, but he like taught the subject well. Like we walked away knowing how the government worked, but yes, all of his opinions on how it worked were awful. But since Florida is a right to work state, all like, I would say whenever we talk about like the economics or like, you know, lobbyists or labor unions, he hated labor unions. He hated labor unions so much. He like would talk about, he would talk shit about the other teachers at our school who were like activists within the teachers union. Like he was, it was almost like he was mad at us that other teachers were in a union.
It really is like, it's interesting when your teacher brings their shit into the classroom and you're like, oh, you're, something's going on with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, you have a personal issue that's now becoming everyone's problem.
There was one teacher that was like good friends with another, and we joked that they were having an affair, and they were like, please stop that. We're not having an affair. And they weren't, but that teacher was having an affair with a different teacher. But it was so funny.
How did it come out like that the teacher was having the other affair?
Shortly after I graduated, he got divorced and then married that teacher. But it happened, okay, it happened quick enough where you're like, you were having an affair.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Would you meet the day after the divorce?
Right,
like,
exactly.
What's going on here?
You like met the day after, got married 6 months after that. That's fast.
This is a question I love to ask. Do you remember any big scandals, controversies, or anything of the like from your high school?
We had like a couple kids die. One kid went on the roof because they repainted part of the roof of the school. He went up there to huff the paint and then he died of heat exposure or heat exhaustion. We actually had one, I was weirdly involved in a strange controversy right after Columbine. Every security guard at every school like wanted to like catch someone so they could be, you know, in the newspapers. Like we had, I forget the security guard's name, but we had a security guard who was like, he was almost like a villain in a cartoon who's trying to constantly catch you kids.
Yes.
And so obviously after Columbine, the focus shifted to lonely gothy kids. And
hard time for y'all.
Hard time for us. The worst time for us. And so he, like, a couple of us got, like, rounded up. And it wasn't that we hadn't done anything, really. I think, like, one or two of us had, like, written poems that were kind of gothy for class. But it wasn't, like, a threatening, violent poem. It was just, like, I embrace death, which everyone writes.
Yeah.
And,
it's
so we
2002.
Were...
Who's not embracing death?
But we were brought into a room and like not like interrogated like we were beaten or something, but like kept in a room like individually by ourselves, not with the other like students, but like one by one, we were taken into a room for like 1 or 2 hours where they'd like pepper us with questions, trying to get us to say that we were planning to shoot up the school, and we weren't. The thing, none of us had the capability of doing that. None of us had the weapons. They ended up calling our parents where they're like, we think they're planning to like do something at the school. And all of the parents were more confused than anything because it just didn't make any sense. But it became this controversy because like for a while, the guard was like, we need to expel them. We need to send a message. And
Based on nothing.
And a lot of, because again, we were like nerdy gothy kids. You know,
they were gonna expel you for being goth.
Right, like
unbelievable.
The worst of us was an asshole who like made wisecracks at teachers. You know what I mean? Like he was like the C student who's like, I'm gonna dick. But like no one was violent, no one, but it was this crazy thing where like you had, it felt like very, again, now it doesn't seem like the biggest deal, but at the time it felt very like The Crucible, where I was like, but I didn't do this. I'm the valedictorian of the school. Like, it was like, so like, cause I was like, what does this mean? Do I not go to college now? Do I just do nothing?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a really lofty accusation. It's really heavy. And I imagine as a kid, it's really confusing to just have like authority figures pull you into an office, say you're doing something you have no intention of doing, you like wouldn't even know where to begin doing.
Right.
And then they just are rolling forward with the accusation. That's so wild.
Yeah, they were like, they were so certain. It didn't amount to anything, but it honestly, like, and this sounds melodramatic, but it broke a couple of my friends. Two of my friends who went through it dropped out and joined the military. Like, well, because of it, they were like, I don't want to be here. I'm just going to go get a job somewhere. And, you know, my school wasn't a rich school by any means. So the military was the other option for a whole lot of students at my school. So there were people who were like, fuck this place. I'm just going to join the Air Force.
I mean, it makes perfect sense, because how can you feel safe at your school after that, after being like pulled in and just based on literally zero evidence except that you are goth, which is crazy. It really feels like you guys were the victims of kind of the moral panic of that time around, just like, because I feel like every school had like a kid who wore a trench coat and everyone's like, what's his deal? And it's like, he's wearing a trench coat is what his deal is.
Right. It's, yeah, we all like The Matrix a little too much.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
And it felt like these schools didn't know what to do with like any, they wanted to protect the school, but they didn't know how. And also no one wanted to just like pass like gun reform laws. So
no,
instead it's like, expel the goths.
But it really was.
And yeah.
I feel like they had yet to get to the point that people are at now where it's like, I don't know if it's going to happen sooner or later. Like it's just so much more relaxed. Like, but it really was a moral panic. Like I remember like everyone being like, you know, this was caused by video games and music. And then later on, you just find out that the dudes were terrible people.
Yeah. And like, no, they were abused.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, or whatever. Yep. I mean, like they just had other shit going on. Sometimes people are crazy. We just should just not let them have weapons. Okay. So you know what? That's also interesting, because it surprises me that your school let you guys play like violent video games at school. Cause I feel like that was another big moral panic of that time.
I think, to their credit, I think a lot of the high-tech teachers were themselves a bit like more nerdy, or, you know, felt a little more of an affinity for us. So they were cool with it. And those were the only places we were doing it. There's definitely teachers who, if they knew we were playing like Mortal Kombat, whatever number was then, like they would have been furious. And I'm sure that they would have written a very strong letter to the principal.
They would have been outraged.
They would have been outraged.
I believe it is time for us to look through some of these photos.
Oh, boy.
You sent some amazing photos.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have you as a baby.
So cute.
I love when people send a baby photo. Very cute.
I was a cute baby.
So many curls.
I know. As we'll see later, that became a problem. But from age like 0 to 7, the curls really worked in my favor. Look at that. That's a cute kid. Could have turned, wearing a Don Carter bowling alley shirt, which I just realized for the first time in 30 years. Very adorable kid. Did not
last.
Yeah,
this could be a Baby Gap kid.
Yeah, I was a cute baby for a short period of time. I guess most babies are only babies for a short period of time, but you get what I mean.
You were a cute baby for the period of time that you were a baby. All right, let's go on the journey now.
Let's
so
do it.
Cute baby, what do we have next?
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Yep.
So, are these your siblings?
Those are my siblings. That's my older sister Tiffany and my younger brother Daniel.
You are dressed like the dad in a sitcom.
Each of us look like we're a different religion in this photo. Like,
yes. Wow. Oh my God. Yes.
Like
that is very true.
My mom, for like 15 years, was very into like Southwestern style type imagery and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think that bled into a lot of the clothes that she would buy for us.
Yes, because your sister looks like she's Mormon, maybe. And then yeah. You look like an adult man celebrating Christmas.
And my brother...
I feel like your brother looks like a nice Jewish boy.
He does. He got, yeah. Honestly, though, to be accurate, my father's Jewish, and he got, like, all of that look. He got all of my dad's look.
Blue-collared shirt.
Yeah.
He's the star of the photo in many ways, but he has the most normal attire on here.
Yeah, he was the one who was born after my parents figured out to stop doing certain things.
So is this a typical, like, would a loud sweater like this be typical of your, would you wear this to school?
No, I'd probably wear this to something like church, or if we were going to like grandma's, if she was like holding Passover or something.
Okay.
So that was like a dress shirt for me.
Okay. Or church. It looks hot.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And it was, yeah, it was terrible. I hated it. That was in the South Florida sun. Anytime I had to dress up, like I didn't hate going to church because I was like, this is bullshit, man. Like I realize now it is, but like as a kid, I hated going to church because I had to wear like a shirt over a shirt.
Yeah, I feel like this is a tight fitted, like thick button up shirt that you do not need to be wearing in Florida.
Not at all. No, to school normally I just wear like a t-shirt of whatever cartoon I was watching at that point. A lot of Pinky and the Brain, a lot of Taz.
And this was not bringing in the ladies, you said?
This wasn't bringing in the ladies. despite writing very long handwritten notes asking people out, I rarely got a date.
Wow. Okay, you have to tell me about the note. How did this note happen? How did you deliver it?
There's more than one note. There's more than one note that this happened with. The standard of it was I would completely fall in love with someone, usually someone who was nice to me for like 5 minutes.
Great.
And so I would you know, get to know them and I'd be friendly with them. It wouldn't be a friend zone type thing. It would be more like classmates who talk, you know, I was never someone who'd get like deeply, deeply involved. I would kind of like fall in love from a distance, get friendly with them. And usually I'd write like a long note that was kind of like very, a little too soul bearing. Like it wouldn't be like,
a little much up top. We don't need to put it all out there quite right. So early.
I would put it all out there. I would like make these like promises. Like I'm going to make you live forever. Like I'd like, like so many things, so many big swings. And to their credit, like most of them turned me down very nicely. Like most of them, like some would write a note back that's like, thank you so much. I apologize. I don't feel this way. Like it was all me. Like as much as I want to be angry at the women who rejected me, they were great about a horrifying situation.
About a very scary. How would you deliver the letter? What was your tactic for?
Here you go. Can you read this later?
Okay.
Literally like that.
In person delivery, not like put like in the locker or backpack pocket or something. You know what? I respect that though, because if you're gonna write the soul bearing letter, you have to be able to deliver it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to go the secret admirer route because like I was like, oh, this person will definitely date me after they find out how deep I am.
did any of the letters work?
No, I actually started getting to go out with girls in high school after I realized I didn't need to do that and became more human. Like, and I stopped acting like a fucking Ferengi. Like I started to like, you know, people would be like my nickname in the back half of high school was Jetpack. And the reason it was Jetpack was because I asked out this student, Marcy, who was very beautiful. And we went out a couple times. And so it was said that I was jetpacking above my level.
Oh, wow.
And we never like, I think we like, kissed on the lips, but not like made out. I think that was as far as it went, was like a peck on the lips. But it was after I learned that like, you could just be like, oh, hey, do you want to see a movie? Like you could just do that. You didn't have to like.
What do you think what spawned that realization? And how did you get from like, oh, I love you, to asking out this like very pretty girl?
So this is a super embarrassing story, but one person I asked out was very freaked out by me asking her out. Mm-hmm. And so she went to the guidance counselor of the school, and she wasn't like, it's sexual harassment, throw him out. But she was like, this is concerning. And again, this was around the same time as the Columbine stuff, where if you get a disturbing note, you might go to somebody. Again, she did the right thing.
Again, and we've got, there's anti-goth bias.
Yeah.
It's out there in the media at the time.
And the guidance counselor was actually like, he was kind of like, don't do this sort of thing. Like, he wasn't like, don't do this, you're in trouble. He's like, hey man, I know what you're going through. This, you know, I know it's a hard time for you right now. You don't want to do this. Like, you, like, he wasn't like, here's how you get laid, man. But he was very like, this is a lot of pressure to put on somebody that you don't know that well. And I was like, oh, okay. Like,
so
I just
he guided
someone.
You in yeah, a he, real way, and it worked. And it then worked. you were better for it, and you had a more successful love life as a result.
And like,
well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, like immediately. Apparently, when you don't terrify people, they're more likely to go on a date with you.
Yeah, and apparently when you just like sit a young man down and explain to him calmly how things work, he moves forward in his life.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You're right that we can't say always, but I'm heartened by this story of your guidance counselor guiding you on a better path and it working.
Yeah. It was, you know, it wasn't like, I mean, and like in my head, I was like, oh yeah, I guess that makes, you know, like when someone explains something to you, where you're like, oh, I see where you're coming from. I'm sorry.
Oh, I guess I was being kind of scary.
And then like it sinks in what you've been doing, where you're like, oh no.
Yeah. That's also a horrible moment. The realization of what you've been up to is like, oh no. All right. Let's look through the rest of these photos.
Cool.
Okay, here we have you. What are you trying to make this face in all your photos? Is this
Here's
purposeful?
The thing, I am so bad at smiling on command. Like, there's something about it. Like, when someone's like, if someone takes a normal photo and I can smile normally, but when someone's like, everybody smile, I'm like, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, because you do look, in both photos so far, you've been looking directly like down the barrel, and also you look so horrified, you're grimacing. It's like,
I hated getting my photo taken, especially like I hated my body. My dad also like loved taking photos. So this would like, anything like this would be like 1 or 2 hours of him like posing us different. Putting us in different, like, turn to the side and look at the camera. Like, do a fun one. And so I hated it. I was outside in two layers, which I hated. And I hated taking photos. So this whole time I'm just like, I'm smiling, take my photo. But the more that I was frustrated, the less I was smiling, which would make my dad take more photos.
Your brother has really nailed the, like, you just caught me mid happy jump. Like, Your brother is a natural in this whole thing. And you look so clean.
And my sister looks like, not a woman, but like a man on a romance novel cover.
Yes.
Like, you know,
yes.
Like the long hair.
Her hair is actually like perfect for like the guy who's on the horse. Who's about to like lift you beautiful reader onto the horse. All right, let's look through these next ones as well. Yep. Okay. I think the jacket is a good fashion moment here.
You've
got a bomber jacket that's happening. Where are you? Why do you look so miserable?
I am at my, I forget where the ice skating rink was. I want to say Sunrise, Florida, but I am at an ice skating rink birthday party for my brother. I remember being miserable at it. I feel like I got into a fight with my dad, like an argument with my dad right beforehand. I forget why I was miserable. I just remember being super miserable. And so whenever anyone tried to take a photo, I was like, I'm not even gonna fucking give you a smile. Which though resulted in honestly the best photo of me that will ever be taken.
There's incredible.
There's no wrong part of it. Everything, the netting in the back, the trash can, me holding a styrofoam cup, like my hand back, like I look like a 47-year-old mother of five.
You, I was going to say that you look like one of Tony Soprano's friends. Like,
it's so good.
I'm here to make sure nothing happens at the roller rink here.
I'm a blue collar guy and I'm over it.
100%. I think we have some more good fashion moments coming. Okay, so this is the same
birthday party. As you can tell, that jacket's from Epcot Center.
Wow. Okay, I actually do feel like, do you have that jacket?
No.
To this day? Although, could sell that on a vintage store at like at a, you could be making money on that jacket.
I could. Weirdly, I found some clothes when I was cleaning out my parents' garage that I had when I was around this age, and I now weigh as an adult man a little less than I did then. And so like it was weird to like put on like a Maplewood Elementary School t-shirt and be like, "Oh, this fits me now."
I mean, listen, all of that style is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You could rock it.
I could
rock all
could.
Your Maplewood Elementary School gear.
Yeah.
But I'll this like, jacket, actually, you could get a pretty penny for that. And what's going on with the gloves?
I think honestly, just skating rink. So I'm sure like my hands were cold and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And here we.
Oof.
Again, looking like an adult man.
Oof. Yeah, unwrapping Dungeons & Dragons board game right behind me, unwrapping Nightmare, which is a board game that uses a VHS cassette. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did it use the VHS cassette?
You'd put it in the player and occasionally it would be like, it was more like a timer that would come in with certain things where it was like, now everybody do this. It was supposed to give it like a spooky element.
Yes.
Most of these I would play with my brother or by myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Dungeons and Dragons, you can't play by yourself.
No, but I liked using the maps and I liked sort of writing adventures and yeah, I feel like I'm depressing. I'm realizing how depressing that was, where it's like I'd pull out the maps and read the books, then put the maps away and put the books away.
It honestly is particularly sad because it's like the point of Dungeons and Dragons is like everyone, the thing that makes it good is like everyone gets together and it's like a fun thing and it creates camaraderie among these groups. And you're like, I'll just be looking at the maps.
Yeah.
I don't need the camaraderie. I will take it from here.
Such a lonely boy.
Did you have a group that you played with at this time?
I did a little bit after this. I think maybe two or three. That was another thing about high school is because there was a fair amount of nerdy people, not even in the tech program, just in general, like we did Dragon Ball Z role-playing games, we did Dungeons and Dragons, we did Vampire the Masquerade. So I finally got to do that stuff when I got to high school.
Yeah. It seemed like you had a lot going on.
I did. I high school was definitely far from the best years of my life, but I remember it fondly.
Yeah, it seems like you had like an active life of things.
That was I did.
To keep everything together. All right, let's look at this next photo. Is this you and your brother?
Me and my brother wearing, my brother is into sports, but my dad's strategy when I was a kid was he knew I didn't like sports that much. I hated sports at the time. Now I don't hate sports.
Yeah.
But at that time I was very like that asshole, like sports ball nerd who like made fun of it.
Oh, same. I would be like, oh my God, all of like the cheerleaders are so stupid. What do they
They're
even
so
do?
Dumb.
And then now I'm like, I watch cheer and I'm like, these are the most brilliant athletes I've ever seen in my entire life.
But my dad would buy me sports shirts and be like, well, maybe if I make him wear enough like Miami Heat shirts and Miami Dolphins shirts and Florida Marlins shirts, he'll eventually like sports, right? And that didn't happen. This photo is fascinating. First of all, I just, again, like I always look like a mom. Like I look like, I sort of look like a mom who gave up.
Yeah.
And just my arm around my brother, who's so much more charismatic than me and so much better on camera and so much more fun, is like, look at how sad I look versus how much fun he's having.
It's interesting because in every photo, he's doing something and you are holding completely still and just staring at the camera. Like every photo, he's like in motion, joyful, whatever. And you are just like staring at the camera, holding yourself completely still.
Yep.
No smile, nothing.
Did not want a photo of me taken, so I will stare at you until it's over.
I'm to make this unpleasant for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to burn it down.
All right, let's go through. Okay, is this mom?
This is mom. That is my mom. Also does not like being photographed.
Yeah, like I see where you, okay, I'm seeing where you are getting some of this. And what are you doing in the back there?
I think I'm trying to get ketchup out onto a burger. I assume that must be seconds before I got it on myself. Like there's no other way.
It really looks like you're setting it up. And what, do you know what shirt that is?
That looks like a Chicago Bulls shirt, which I'm sure my dad got me because I know that this photo is in Chicago from when I was visiting relatives.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, oh, I thought we were getting all Miami shirts.
No, no, no. My parents are originally from Chicago, but they just moved to Florida in the early 80s. So my dad did that thing where he's like, when I'm in Chicago, I love the Cubs. When I'm in Florida, I love the Marlins.
That's like kind of how my dad is too.
Yeah.
He has no allegiance to any team. All right, let's go to the next photo.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, where is this? And I notice again, you are wearing a sports shirt. Or is this is this on the same trip?
No.
Sports related shirt.
Yeah. I also like that my brother's wearing a Phoenix Sun shirt. I don't know why.
Your brother again looks adorable.
Yeah, yeah. And and I look like I just got divorced after 30 years of marriage and I'm back on Tinder. Like I look like a little bit like sort of a sly smile.
Yes. Like, this one, the smile in this one is interesting. It's a little cheekier.
What
is the giant Tyrannosaurus Rex in the background?
As it says, it's Recyclesaurus. I believe, I barely remember it, but I believe that Florida had sort of this, it was either Florida or maybe it was in Illinois, I forget, but there was a museum that sort of had a whole exhibit on recycling and I believe this was it. Because I remember the exhibit and I remember this.
And you remember the Recyclesaurus.
Yeah. I remember a big exhibit on recycling and the dinosaur. So in my head, they must go together.
Yeah. It's just very funny to me to name something Recyclesaurus.
Like, it's just, so lazy.
Just name it like Recyclesaur even. Like, yeah. Just try. Yeah. I feel like we could just be trying a little harder.
No.
All right. Let's look. Okay. And then... what is this, a yearbook page that we have here?
Yearbook page. Yep. Senior photo is in obviously the lower part, and then I was most academic. I was most academic.
So is that you winning most academic in the middle?
That's me. That's me and Carol White, who also won most academic, and that was the two of us. Most academic at Dillard High School with a solar system shirt, corduroy pants that made the most sound in the world when I walked. Like, would just make all the sound when I walked.
I don't think this angle is doing you any favors that they took this picture at. I don't think it's right for them to have taken this from below and put you in the foreground and this girl in the background. I don't think that was right that they did that to you.
Carol White, who was much, 1,000 times thinner and much smaller than I am, was definitely the one to frame.
Yeah, they put her behind you and back. And then they took the photo from down below you in front. They did you dirty that day, Mike.
They did. They did. But, you know, also remember putting on a watch because they wanted me to look. They thought my arms looked weird. So they gave me a watch to put on.
Okay, weird in what way? And how did the watch fix it?
I think because it just looked weird to have like this arm doing nothing on the book.
Oh, okay.
And so they're like, oh, if we add a watch, it looks a little more like, I don't know, visually.
Maybe your arm was blending into the book, blending into your pants or something.
That might be. That might
be. But all of this could have been fixed by putting her in the front.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But, you know, why would you do that?
All right, Mike, I feel like we're coming to the end here. So we always like to round out the pod by asking this question, which is, if you could talk to teen Mike today, what would you tell him?
What would I tell? that's a tough question. This sounds like I'm doing a bit. I would honestly probably tell him to like exercise more. I feel like that helped me so much in college when I started doing that. But in high school, I was always like, people should accept me for who I am, which is true. But But I also wasn't helping them. Like I expected them to accept me for me doing minimal effort while they did more than me. So I probably tell myself to like be healthier and to get in shape, and it'd also make my life much better. I also think that, like, I tell them that, like, don't, like, the hair thing was never good. It never went the way I wanted. And so I'm one of, like, the 8 people in the world where going bald, like, made me look better as a human being. And so I'd be like, the hair thing's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. That's not going to be an issue.
Don't worry. And also, don't get married when you're 25.
Okay. Okay. That is all some very sound advice.
Because that will last a year and a half.
And that's for a different podcast.
A different podcast.
Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was great having you. And for everyone listening at home, this has been the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast.